The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Monday edition, a happier happy hour. Back to work for you, though, Salvia.
Happy, happy hour, Curdy.
Jeff says you came back on fire. He said you should take time off every month. And I'm like, how would that differ from right now?
I think Jeff is a smart man, and I should heed his advice.
See, you find callers that have held over, and if you're patient, you're first in the queue. But, Dom, I want to throw a new topic you missed while gallivanting in Europe. Presidential debates, baby, they're coming. It's for real. We hear June 27th. It's a Thursday night.
I'll believe it when it happens.
Jennifer Rubin over at the Washington Post, how Biden's debate performance could blow open the race. Well, let's hope it's not Trump's trial that blows open the race, Dom, but here's what she has to say at the Washington Post. President Biden took the media and political world by surprise in challenging Donald Trump to two debates, then swiftly accepting offers to CNN and ABC. Trump accepted the debates on June 27th and September 10th, but whether he will show up is another matter. You taking odds? Does Trump show up? I think he's got to, right? Anytime, any place.
Well, he also said he was going to testify, and he hasn't yet, and...
That's an advice of counsel. Well, if he's fully vindicated and exonerated in trial, there's no...
I was going to show up, but Joe Biden wouldn't take the drug test, so no, I'm not going to show up. You know, it's really hard to take this man at his word. So I don't know. And there's a significant possibility that he does not end up debating.
I can only think... of one other person, like, for trying to commit to an event that's less reliable than Donald Trump. One other person. You know him, who's Dom. That? You know him.
hey, come on, man. Contemplation is prior to commitment is warranted sometimes. You gotta, you know, think the things through. But once I commit, I'm committed.
Oh, you're committed. You should be committed. Trump has done Biden a favor over the past few months by painting the president as an infirm, doddering old man. If Biden appears even remotely sane, alert, and engaged at the debates, he will have defied expectations. Moreover, Biden already accomplished an important component of a successful debate. In getting out in front to reach quick agreements with CNN and ABC, the president might have snagged for the CNN-hosted June 27th debate in Atlanta two of the most competent moderators available. Two? Jake Tapper and Dana Bash have been blunt in calling out Trump's lies and grilling Republicans about Trump's 2022 sit-down with racist Holocaust denier. Trump's bigoted language and his derogatory comments about Jews, they're more than capable of pinning Trump down. Now, unfortunately, for moderating the September 10th debate, ABC News did not select George Stephanopoulos, who has distinguished himself for blunt talk about Trump's abnormal behavior. The designated moderators, David Muir and Lindsay Davis, without general election debate experience, will need to be on their toes. And Biden's challenge is threefold, I tell you, Dom, threefold. Expose Trump's unfitness. Reassure Americans that he can continue to lead the country. And remind voters of the horrors of the Trump presidency. Can he expose Trump, Tom?
I think so. Exposing Trump's defects won't be hard, since he can rarely go for more than a few minutes before sounding unhinged. Trump was angry, rude, and argumentative in the first debate with Biden in 2020. Judging from his rallies and social media rants this year, there is every reason to think Trump's self-control has deteriorated further. Psychologist John Gartner, I don't think he's capable of sustaining 90 minutes of unstructured conversation at night under stress without slipping. When he does slip, Biden should pounce on it and shine a light on Trump's thought disorder in real time. He suggests Biden be super aggressive and call out his opponent's more disturbing statements, ergo saying of Trump, what kind of person runs for president to threaten revenge? Others, such as a lawyer and prominent Trump critic George Conway, argue that the way to disarm Trump is to treat him like the nut job he actually is, but do it with humor. Indeed, Biden has taken to regularly mocking Trump, calling him a loser, and even suggested, Trump is sick. I hear you're free on Wednesdays, he said in his video challenge, referring to the courtroom schedule and Trump's trial in New York.
Were you aware of that, Tom?
Yes.
That was funny.
It was funny. Whatever tone Biden deploys over the course of a long debate, he will likely get multiple opportunities to pounce. If Trump blathers on about Hannibal Lecter, whales killed by wind turbines, the rigged 2020 election, or the corrupt judges and prosecutors who torment him, Biden can call out Trump's nuttery. That's bonkers. Man, did everyone hear how crazy he sounds? In a more serious vein, Biden should not be shy about denouncing Trump's promise to be a dictator for a day or his conceit that he can suspend the Constitution. The president can also pressure Trump to denounce white nationalists, something he refused to do in 2020. And Biden can accuse Trump of
being stand back and stand by.
Biden can accuse Trump of being weak on the border, given his urging Republicans to kill a tough bipartisan border bill earlier this year. Such guy Gibbs might spark a Trump meltdown. In sum, Trump tends to erupt when attacked and seems to show no self-awareness when he sounds daft. Gartner's Shrinking Trump co-host Harry Siegel, a senior lecturer in psychology at Cornell University, tells me, again, Jennifer Rubin at the Washington Post, Biden needs to remember that the more Trump feels attacked, the more angry he gets. And when Trump gets angry, his speech becomes tangential, disorganized, and sometimes hard to follow. No wonder Biden is eager to debate him.
Will it happen? And will you be watching with me, Dom, at my side?
You know, I think it's a 50-50 shot right now. I don't know if it'll happen. I wonder, some things that could happen before then, of course, a guilty verdict might change his mind. The guy makes promises and talks trash all the time, dude. How do you determine what he actually follows through on?
Well, yeah. I keep asking you over and over again until you commit. 844-967-2789. Ron from Milwaukee. Welcome, Ron. What do you got for us?
Hey, Ron.
Gentlemen, after your spirited debate in the early period, it occurred to me that, and I'm not trying to suck up to you guys, because how would I do that at a distance?
Beer and weed, leave it at the studios. But go ahead, Ron.
It occurred to me that at your best, and your best is very often, you remind me in your debates where you go back and forth and really lay it on and really get, mean and down and dirty with each other on this stuff. It reminds me a lot of an improved version of that old public television show from the 70s called The Advocates. And, there was a right-wing advocate attorney and a left-wing advocate attorney. And then an issue was placed on the table. And for an hour, everybody in the room, including the witnesses and audience, would debate the issue, a political issue of the evening. And the moderator was Michael Dukakis, who was surprisingly good. I think that's why he ended up getting the nomination before he fell apart. But when you guys are going and you don't even have a moderator, you've got yourselves as moderators, it's pretty enlightening. I mean, I came out of there thinking, you know what? I agree with Dom, and I agree with Crute. I mean,
come on, man. You can't have it both ways, right? You got to pick sides. Well, pick sides.
I can. It's
that's the thing about
it's
many.
A range.
there are so many nuanced conversations, right? And each and every day we try to react to the daily headlines, Ron. Yeah. And obviously sometimes it's emotion, but you know, we try to be well informed on these topics. And, you know, mostly I'm right, but only because I know the Dom's temporarily distracted. But Ron, any other political thoughts, any debate? I mean, I love the compliments, but any debate thoughts?
Yeah, the other thing is, I the one thing I do keep thinking is that given the way things have played out, I don't think these trials, as many of them as happen or don't happen before the election, are going to materially affect the outcome of the election. However, I think there are a whole bunch of other things, marginal things, and we should always remember those, like how the GOP is working at the margins to corral voters, Biden voters and Democratic voters, and cage them, and also
cage them, sir.
Said much
clarify about cage. What do you mean by that, Ron?
Oh, well, that's a term in electoral politics where they're not physically caged. Their vote has been gerrymandered or whatever. And then the other thing that, and nobody's really talked much about this, which is kind of surprising, which is, are Republicans going to come up with another October surprise like they have in numerous past elections? And it's like, sure they are. They're going to come up with some ridiculous anti-Biden story that's new, you know, allegedly new. I mean, it'll be recrafted. And that is going to be complete BS.
Ron,
it doesn't matter.
I can already tell you what it's going to be. I think we forget that Hunter Biden is going to have his own trials. I believe one proceeds on June 3rd, one proceeds on June 20th. I mean, Hunter Biden's, it's going to be the summer of Hunter and the Hunter trials. And, you know, they're going to cast those smears upon the father, of course, and they're going to say, well, see, he's just like Trump. He's got a ne'er-do-well kid. Trump's got two of those, maybe three or four. But, Ron, it's going to blur the electorate. They're not going to be able to distinguish. And I don't think there will be any other trials for Trump. This was not about the real crimes. The real crimes was the January 6th. The real crimes was trying to influence the outcome of the election. Unfortunately, paying off a porn star is a crime technically, but you know, I'm not sure they substantiated it, sir.
This trial really isn't about paying off a porn star. It's about running a bad set of books and lying about your expenses as a corporation. But
you're right about that, Ron. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. More great debates. We'll see.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. You join us on the lines 844-967-2789. Poor Rudy, man. He got one hell of a birthday present, didn't he?
He did. And we have June birthdays. It'd be a hell of a time for us to get served. But former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani was officially served with a felony indictment on Friday night for allegedly interfering in Arizona's 2020 presidential election. Officials with the Office of Arizona Attorney General's Chris Mays served Giuliani in front of nearly 100 guests at his 80th birthday celebration in Palm Beach, Florida. The New York Post reported early Saturday morning the former personal attorney to Donald Trump was in high spirits when he was served around 11 p.m. on Friday at the Lake Clark Shores, home of GOP consultant Carolyn Wren. Prior to being served with felony indictment paperwork, Giuliani reportedly belted the song New York, New York by Frank Sinatra in front of what the Post said was between 80 and 100 guests. Some of the more high-profile attendees, maybe they were just high, Dom, of the party were longtime Trump aide and dirty fixer Roger Stone. and former White House strategist Steve Bannon. Wow. So quite the
best friends, best of people. I got the best people.
Tom, some party goers started screaming, and one woman even cried as Giuliani was served.
She wept.
I understood, and I have seen a photo that the guy that served him the papers actually sang along happy birthday to Rudy and then handed him the papers. He's in the birthday photo and he's beaming. He's smiling in the back, but the process server was apparently, you know, no more than two away from Rudy when the happy birthday was being welcome wished upon.
I thought I saw
and many more
reporting that he was like talking trash about not getting served and they better do it soon or they're not going to be able to do it at all. And then he ends up getting served like a few minutes later.
Giuliani said it was unfortunate they chose to barge up and startle guests during the celebration of this man's 80th birthday. So anyways.
Man, you know, 80 years old, you're going, why would you want to put yourself into a situation when you're 80 years old and having to deal with this? I mean, he did all this willingly, Rudy Giuliani.
If Arizona, here's what Giuliani had tweeted. If Arizona authorities can't find me by tomorrow morning, one, they must dismiss the indictment. Two, they must concede they can't count votes. Mays posted a screenshot of the tweet after it was deleted, and then she tweeted out the confirmation that Rudy had been served. Happy birthday, Rudy.
Happy birthday, big guy.
844-967-2789. Dana from La Crosse. Welcome from God's country. How you doing, Dana?
Hey, good afternoon, Devils. Good to have you back, Dom.
Thank you.
Hey, first off, on the Rudy Giuliani thing, kind of a related, similar one. Did you see that photo of Lauren Boebert when she was speaking outside the courthouse? Somebody walked up to her and asked her to offer autograph their playbill for Beetlejuice. It was a pretty funny photograph. Anyway, going back to debate topics and the immigration bill. Yeah, I think Biden should definitely hammer him on that. And I'm hoping you guys can help explain something for me. Whenever we bring up that they reneged on that bill, their complaint about it, the MAGA complaint about it is, oh, it was going to allow 5,000 immigrants in a day. And I don't have a retort for that because I don't know what the legal limit was or what does that really mean? You know, what's the difference on that? I was hoping you guys might have some insight on that.
The legal limit on what? I'm sorry, Dana. I caught myself catching headlines for a moment.
The MAGAs are saying the reason they don't want that immigration bill that got that bipartisan bill is because it was going to, quote, let 5,000 illegals in a day. And I'm like, well, okay, so
that'd be about 1.5 million a year, maybe a little more than that. That would be, okay. I think, a acceptable number of immigrants that could be easily assimilated into a country of 335 Absolutely. Million people each year. Man, we need more laborers than that. We need the labor.
Because what is it now? What is the legal limit now? I'm sure there's something in some code somewhere.
According to Trump, it's always too many. And, you know, we've got to lock it down. Now, it is my strong impression, Dana, that it is a difficult process to get legal citizenship. And I'm not trying to negotiate away the rights of others, but I could see some compromise on green cards, working visas. There's got to be a workaround, and I think a bipartisan bill, not perfect, neither side liked it, except that it did solve a lot of problems, exactly. And it put a lot of funding, real funding, into the Border Patrol. And you hear all these complaints, right. You're not doing anything. Well, every time we give you a good idea, Trump kills it, because it's politics right. season, I mean, man. It's the witching season.
They don't even want to supply the lawyers and the judges to help process these people to get them assimilated. And their idea that it's a voting, trying to incorporate voters, well, it's a crappy strategy because it takes like 7 years for them to be eligible to vote.
Well, so if they naturalized and became citizens, Dana, the vast majority of them.
Once they're naturalized.
of course, the vast majority of them do not ever end up voting. And to think that they're voting illegally, as Trump would allege, I mean, becoming felons for the right to cast a singular vote in any election, the only people dumb enough to do that are always Republicans, Dom. I mean, you find me 10 stories about Democrats trying to vote illegally, and I'll find you 100 stories about individual Republicans doing it. Often they're at the highest levels. Folks, we are the devil's advocates. Rudy, belt out.
Yeah.
Well, he was doing it his way.
He was.
Maybe a different Sinatra tune. Well, if you can make it there, Dom, you can make it anywhere.
You can make it anywhere.
If you can make it onto the Devil's Advocate show, you've accomplished something. Probably one of your life goals, bucket list, all that kind of stuff. All you got to do, dial 844-967-2789.
Save the $2 on tomorrow's paper. Listen to the Devil's Advocates today.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Monday Happier Happy Hour Raspberry Beret, little Prince, Dom. But that was sort of the long extended musical version. But here's why I play it. And then I'll turn it over to you. You tell me, don't look out the window. You might get distracted like a squirrel.
Don't do it.
But then you miss the world going by, Dom, and there was a man outside playing a ukulele on an electric unicycle wearing a beret. And I just thought, that guy's got it going on.
Only a beret or?
No, clothes and oh, okay. And a,
and a beret.
Yes.
You know, because if it was warm, she wouldn't wear much else. 844-967-2789. To get to Dana's, our last caller, his point, talking about the Senate border bill. Scalise, the Republican, apparently acknowledged this thing or made a complaint to PolitiFact that the border bill accepts 5,000 illegal immigrants a day. PolitiFact dug in, and here's what they say. The bill directs the Homeland Security Secretary to stop people from coming in and to deny them from applying for asylum if there is an average 5,000 migrant encounters at the southern border over 7 days. Well, that doesn't mean that 5,000 people would be let in each day before them. A person can be encountered and not let into the country. The encounters track data tracks how many times officials stop migrants, not how many are let in. Before the emergency authority is triggered, immigration law will continue to be enforced with a higher standard for asylum interviews, faster adjudication process, and increased detention space. The number of encounters triggers the emergency authority, and the authority changes what happens when people try to cross the border. The bill does not allow any number of people who illegally cross the border. PolitiFact rates that claim false. So there you go, Dana. It's false.
I take the 5,000 immigrants per day, which seems like a big number, but it's not. Dick from Madison, welcome. What do you got for us, Dick?
Hey, Dick.
Well, first of all, real quickly, Trump today, too, he's out there outside of the courthouse saying, they want me to spend all my money. And this is on the Democrats. Why don't you constantly chastise them for all the lies? No, it's none of your money. It's the money that's coming into the RNC that you're spending like a drunken sailor, number one. But also, this would have been all over the news, and the Democrats fail again. This rally this weekend, I'm sure both of you have seen it, where he just melts down and can't talk for 35 seconds, a minute, when he's just standing there like a total dolt that he is
now,
and can't say anything.
Was it Mitch McConnell style? Because Mitch had a couple of real freeze-ups. And that's the way it's being described, but my boy Dom says it was more like, you know, the teleprompter's not working, so he's sitting there miffed.
Yeah, he was mad that the teleprompter wasn't working, so he sat there and instead of coming up with something to say, just pouted until they got it working again. That was my impression.
That's what I would do.
Whatever it was.
He did close his eyes for a few seconds as well.
Whatever it was, guys, the Democrats fail because they should be outing this every single time it happens. And it happens often.
It does happen often. And it's all out there, Dick. I mean, I hear what you're saying. I don't know if you know, you want the Democratic Party, you know, Wickler from Wisconsin or the National Party to do that. But there are news articles everywhere. You can't get away from the fact that, you know, I first saw reporting like 2 minutes and I went and looked at it and it wasn't. It was like 30 seconds.
Dick, we've been quite busy just trying to keeping up with the farting in court.
But here's the thing. The national media doesn't cover it like it should be covered. You know, for a fact, if that would have been Biden, they would have been all over it like stink on I can't say it on the air. And it's just, it's maddening. Get on this guy and stay on him.
Well, sorry to cut you short, Dick, but I was going to say that's why we need these two candidates on the debate stage, Dom. And then you'll read the transcript the next day, something like that. 844-967-2789, trying to sneak a few more in. Mark from the SAC, welcome. What do you got for us, Mark?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, on the whole, Lauren Boebert thing, I don't think it was Beetlejuice she was after when she's at the show with her busy hands. It is just sad that you know, I hear, you know, the Trump apologists talk, and of course they're not apologizing for them, they're explaining it. And that's what the apology means in a classic sense. That how they overlook the fact that this man committed crimes. He solicited people to commit the crimes, or they did it on their own, too. And the whole fake elective things, it is a big deal. And as far as the whole paperwork thing, you know, these are just little paperwork crimes. When I was auditing, you know, the grants, that if there's things that were wrong, and then people didn't want to supply the information, or they falsified the information, that was something major that I had to, you know, to look into. I mean, that these things are, it is a big deal. When you violate the law, it is a big deal. And this man held the highest office in the world, and this man chose to commit crimes while he was in office and subsequent to his being in office. And why they want to cut him any slack is just beyond me, because it is just a, integrity is supposed to mean something. Principles are supposed to mean something. And if you abandon those for your candidate,
that's a nice thought. That's really sweet, Mark. I vaguely remember those days and those lessons, but that ain't how it is, man. And if anything, what we should do is acknowledge that and beat them back at their own game, man. I'm so tired. I'm so tired of the both sidesism kind of thing going on. I think the media has, to our last caller's point, has in some ways failed us to this degree. When a guy stands up and says, I won Minnesota in 16-20, man, I mean, how do you not beat the guy over the head verbally with that over and over and over again? I mean, the guy, he should be, in everything he says, he should be, you know, roundly criticized and shamed by the media, man. Now I'm not talking about the politics.
Boo
about
that media. Man! Boo!
Boo that man, Mark. You know, it's just, there's failure all around us, Mark.
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely, because the whole thing, he lost Minnesota by over 200,000 votes. I mean, it is just, those are real numbers. I mean,
the governor of Minnesota said that a Republican hasn't won Minnesota since Nixon. You know what I'm saying? Come on, man. How do you, and people like, Donald Trump, he says this, he makes it, you know, he makes his claim. Well, okay, you're a supporter of him. How do you justify that?
They tried to slate false electors out of New Mexico. Trump also lost New Mexico by over 100,000 votes. You know,
so Rudy got served for interfering with the Arizona election, but nothing happened in Wisconsin. Josh Call, Attorney General, buddy, what's happening, man?
I don't know, but I did want to acknowledge Mark's commitment. I mean, think about that. Mark sat on hold for 45 minutes so he could tell a Lauren Boebert Beetlejuice handy joke. I mean, come on. That's real commitment to the craft.
Yeah, that is. That certainly is. Work on your material, man. We always appreciate our audience.
844-967-2789. 8-9. Dom, I got one quick story, and you can certainly interrupt me with your phone calls. This weekend, you know, I was so proud to get up to the lake and get on the boat. And my wife and I, up there alone, no kids. What a nice little romantic venture on the lake. Way. And I felt the gas can. I'm like, oh, that's pretty low. I'm like, we'll just go one lap. Got about three quarters of a lap, and we're on the other side of the lake, and ran out of gas. Nice. And I tell Mrs. Crudy, I'm like, don't worry about it, baby. I got a trolling motor. It's going to take a little longer, but we weren't in a hurry. You know, just sit back. Well, the trolling motor shorting out. It's going for like 3 seconds, then stopping, and then going for 3 to 5 seconds and stopping. So it's not really propelling us any faster than the wind is blowing us. So Mrs. Crudy grabs a paddle because she's been chastised on the radio for not lending a hand, right? Only she keeps rowing, but it's moving the direction of the boat. So Michael had to row the boat to shore.
Yeah.
I'm like, baby, how about you do the trolling motor and steer us towards... I had to pull a 16-foot boat via oar, and it was laborious. My shoulders kind of stung after that.
Oh, good workout for you, Michael.
And then here's why you know it's true love. I went to the gas station. I got gas. I put it in the boat, and I'm like, baby, you want to go for a boat ride? And she said yes. Short-term memory. Not great on her either, Dom, obviously. It's the only way we stay married some days.
Yeah. You gotta have a short-term memory, man.
I wish I'd had someone I could have blamed that on. Dominic!
No, man, but Crudy, you remember everything, man. You hold all sorts of grudges, man. You got an enemies list, Crudy.
Oh, all like, the way back to preschool.
You still like curse them at night on your way to sleep.
There's a kid that I
guarantee in your head that you say their names over and over and over and over again.
There's a kid, I bet, that curses me because on May 18th of 1980, the big news headline, and each day in Ms. Clybanner's fourth grade class, she would. This is on the west side of Madison, Eagle School, round school, super cool round school. And then we had like a round gymnasium as well. So two circles, but I'm in Mrs. Clybanner's fourth grade class. I learned more that year than all my other years in school. I swear to God. And she would encourage us to bring current events, you know, sort of like we do on the radio here.
Sure.
And there was this kid, Andy Oslison, and I hope Andy's listening. He might be out there in the Madison area. And anyways, Monday morning, I'm raising my hand. Ooh, ooh. And Andy's also raising his hand. And she said, who knows what big news story happened this weekend? And she called on me. And I've never seen a human being so crestfallen as poor Andy. Because it was Mount St. Helens erupting.
Oh.
The volcano, right? It's the biggest news of the nerdy. I mean, I made a volcano in that class. And so anyways, I stumped Andy. I stole his lead. And I bet I'm on his enemies list.
You can't blame you for that. I mean, if anything, the teacher should be at fault for that. The teacher called on you. What are you going to do?
I bet I'm still on Mr. Marty's enemies list. The guy that owns Why? Big Al's might be on my enemies list. Let the people videotape through the window and capture me in my glory.
Shouldn't be doing naughty things. They don't have to worry about naughty results.
How about you, Dom? Who's on your enemies list? There's got to be a few. You've threatened to shoot me in the face, and I'm a friend.
You're a friend, man. Exactly. I like to, you know, get all my angst and thoughts out. So, you know, everyone knows where they stand. No enemies list for me. Well, I do have one. I'm a little concerned about this one. Get back to a topic here shortly before we wrap this up. Alito flying the flag upside down at his house? What?
So is he identifying you as the enemy? You're the enemy of the state?
I think so.
Because you would be profane, I feel quite sure. You would probably put the F Trump sign in your yard, especially if you lived in Alito's neighborhood.
Right?
You would be that guy, wouldn't you?
I mean, I don't think I would. I generally try to not do that. You know, it's one thing to put a campaign sign in your yard. It's one thing to taunt your neighbors with it. You know, I do my taunting on the radio, man. Certainly F that guy. But the reaction of Justice Alito to what, blame his wife? My wife? No, what is it with all the wives getting everything, man? Oh, I was blame my wife. I blame my wife's fault. My wife's fault. My wife did it. I didn't. Had nothing to do with it. It was all my wife.
I can't believe Mrs. Crudy didn't remind me to get more than a half gallon of gas before we went out on the lake.
I blame her entirely. It's her fault. Why did she remind you?
Wow. Why would she possibly choose to go on the lake with me? That was her first mistake. You know that boat's like 50 years old, right?
Almost as old as you, Crudy.
Almost. Come back with us. Alito, Dom's buddy, his favorite Supreme Court justice. Has he supplanted Clarence Thomas in your heart and mind?
Oh,
he's number one?
I think so.
Top of the enemies list?
Given Dobbs and all that, man, what a joke. Are you kidding me? This guy's supposed to be impartial. You know, he's going to be, what, voting on whether or not Donald Trump has absolute immunity while he's flying the flag, the distressed U.S. flag, in his yard? Well, sure, the Devil's Advocates, 844-967-2789. Crudy has something to say on the other side.
Sounds like Gableman.
Occupy didn't start on Wall Street. It started on our street, the Devil's Advocates.
Hey, welcome back to the Devil Advocates Radio Show, our last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up on the lines right now, 844-967-2789. Crudy, the Rolling Stone, obviously one of many journalists.
Kid Rock's favorite magazine this week.
Outfits out there talking about the Alito flying the flag upside down, a little bit from the body of that piece. U.S. flag code, Crudy. You know how the Republicans are very, very sensitive about the U.S. flag code. Well, U.S. flag code stipulates the Star-Spangled Banner should never be displayed with a Union down, except as a signal of dire distress in instances of extreme danger to life or property. When asked about the flag by the New York Times, Alito threw his wife under the bus, stating that he had no involvement whatsoever in flying the flag. It was briefly placed by Mrs. Alito in response to a neighbor's use of an objectionable, personally insulting language on yard signs, he added. One neighbor did confirm that there had been an ongoing dispute between Mrs. Alito and a neighbor who placed an anti-Trump sign in their front lawn. Alito told Fox News on Friday that a neighbor had a sign that said F Trump within 50 feet of where children wait for the school bus.
But you realize during a pandemic, those kids weren't going to actual school. They weren't seeing that sign, but please continue.
Yeah, but they could have gone to school. They described the ensuing war of words between Alito's and the man who put up the sign, and that Mrs. Alito, she was distraught, Crudy. As the Rolling Stone reports, even if this is true, it doesn't explain why she would have decided to fly an upside-down American flag, or why Alito would have allowed the upside-down flag to fly despite Supreme Court ethics restrictions despite Supreme Court ethics restrictions regarding public political displays by the justices. It's also an unsatisfactory attempt at dismissing concerns over Alito's ability to remain impartial over cases related to the 2020 election. And the article goes on from there. I mean, he could have put in a let's go Brandon sign. You know, oh, you can't do that. We're just going to fly the Star-Spangled Banner upside down as in what? Trump lost so the union is in jeopardy? And now you're going to what? We're supposed to believe that you're going to remain objective in these trials? So lots of Dems obviously upset about that, saying that he should not be on these cases. But, you know, I'm not sure if the Supreme Court ethics code would allow them to do that.
He will not recuse them. Alito was the one that sat there and shook his head no to Barack Obama, right? When he said that Citizens United would open the floodgate of unlimited dark money spending. I think Obama was pretty prescient on that.
I'm pretty sure Obama was right on that. And Alito was wrong again.
Let me throw a little of Ruth Marcus's opinion piece out there. Samuel Alito's flag flew upside down. Are his ethics? Maybe. The upside-down U.S. flag flying at the home of Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito Jr. only days after the Trump-inspired insurrection of January 6, 2021, shouldn't come much as a surprise. After all, Alito has been doing the moral equivalent for years, and at the office, which is way worse. In oral arguments, in speeches, and in opinions themselves, he is the Fox News newsiest of the justices, most likely to pick up the conservative media talking points, and most predictably partisan when it comes to his votes. Of course, the flag flying was grossly improper, an apparent endorsement of the Stop the Steal movement. Alito himself seemed to recognize this, as he blamed his wife for the oh say can you see moment, asserting it flew just briefly after a neighborhood dispute escalated into a profane personal attack on Martha Ann Alito. She should apologize, whatever the provocation. Justices and their wives should behave in a way that is above reproach. This wasn't. And the justice himself should provide more information about how long the flag was up, how quickly he intervened, and why. That would help the public assess whether Alito should heed calls from Democrats such as Dick Durbin, House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, to recuse himself from the election-related cases now pending, one involving former President Donald Trump's assertion that he has absolute presidential immunity from criminal prosecution for his official acts. The other is concerning the scope of an obstruction statute under which Trump has been charged. Now, Ruth Marcus writes, I'm not there, not yet. Although the Post reporting on the neighbors who said the flag was upside down for 2 to 5 days gives me pause, she writes. That's not briefly, as Alito said in his statement, or for a short time, as he told Fox News. He should have gone home from the office, seen the flag, and asked his wife to take it down right away. Dawdling for days, if that's what happened, is hugely problematic. Is it the duration it flew for, Dom? Is that the problem?
Is that the problem? 9672789 is part of the problem. Absolutely. It's a continuation, another example of the many, many problems. Wisco Paul, you are not a problem. Welcome. You'll have the last word today. What do you got for us?
Hey, Paulie.
Hey, good afternoon, Devils. At this point, the conservative Supreme Court is a joke. And you have two down for J6. And I do believe Alito was taking money from somebody. Gorsuch is taking money. Even the Chief Justice is taking
somebody
money.
Paid off Kavanaugh's debts.
Yeah, the whole thing's a joke. It's just a complete. It's actually, we should become the laughing stock of the world because we're supposed to be, what are we, the shining light or whatever?
Somebody bought Clarence Thomas a Winnebago, man. That's his shining light you're seeing, Wisco.
Oh, what a joke these people are. You know, it all fits in with Trump, though. The whole thing's a joke. And hey, and one last thing, please don't call Fox News. Call it Foxy or Fox or something, but it certainly isn't news because I would imagine they're down for this whole thing. Hey, if you don't know what else to do and you can't stand up as a man, blame your wife. I know what would happen to me if I did that.
She'd smack the snot out of you, Paul, just like my wife does. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Rich, for all your hard work. Thank you, Mrs. Crudy, for being